Well, we are so pleased to be joined in the studio now by Anne Rejo and Natalie Warren. They just finished the Hudson Bay Bound Expedition, canoeing from Minneapolis to Hudson Bay to commemorate Eric Sevareid's Canoeing with the Cree journey that was done in 1930. They are the first women to successfully complete this journey. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. And we also have a special guest in the studio. We should probably introduce her right away, too.
Our dog, Maihan, is here, chewing on something under the table.
And she's a beauty, and she's part of your trip. You acquired her on the trip, right?
Yep, about the last 3 weeks we had her.
We picked her up at Norway House. She was licking ketchup packets off of the parking lot outside of the multiplex, and we just kind of picked her up and put her in the car.
Now, did I hear correctly last time we talked to you that you got her partly for polar bear deterrent?
Yeah, I mean, we were staying with a council member there and his family. We were all sitting around having a barbecue one night. And they were like, you should get a dog. There's so many stray dogs here. Just pick one up. And like, it'll be great.
We talked about it the whole time, too, how we wished we had a dog.
And what was it like having her for the last part?
It was awesome.
Yeah, super great. We slept a lot better.
Good. Yeah. Did she do well in the canoe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she would just sleep under the stern all day. And then at night she would run around hunting things, and sometimes we would find stuff. Like one morning we found a beaver hand in front of our tent, and we're like, oh, thanks, Maihan.
That's great. So when did you finish your trip?
August 25th.
And when did you start? It was June 2nd. June 2nd. So that's how many days exactly?
85.
Yeah.
And how many miles? Because I think I had the miles wrong.
It's somewhere around 1,800. We haven't calculated it exactly because the length of Lake Winnipeg is 270 miles, but we took sort of a longer route.
Okay. And so this didn't exactly duplicate Eric Sevareid's journey because at the end you took a different river?
We took the Hayes River at the end, and they took the God's River because the water was too low to take the Hayes when they went. But the Hayes is more direct, and it was used more for the Hudson Bay Company route. Mm-hmm. That they were trying to reenact the fur trade route there. So
okay. So I know this is the third time we've had you on the Roadhouse, but for folks who didn't get to hear you before, what was the inspiration for this journey and why did you do it?
Canoeing with the Cree, Eric Sevareid did that route in 1930 with his friend Walter Port, and Anne got the book in high school from one of her friends and read it and didn't, you know, like was like, oh, it's a cool book. And then she reread it in the winter and kind of threw it at me. Literally, and I was like, read this. I'm like, okay, and I don't know, from there we just decided to do the route.
Yeah, we spoke with a man who did it in 2005, mm-hmm. and he told us that if we made up our minds to do it, we could do it, and so that's what we did.
Yeah.
Were you pretty experienced canoeists?
Yeah, we did. Anne and I actually met on a long trip in 2007 through YMCA Camp Minojin. We paddled the Kazan Kunwak Inuit Heritage Rivers up to Baker Lake for 7 weeks. And so we learned, you know, how to canoe and how to plan for a trip through Minojin and the progression of trips that we did. So actually planning for this came naturally to us. So it was nice.
That's great. Well, I was going to ask you, you got back on the 25th, so it's September 9th today. What was the first thing you did when you got back to civilization?
Well, we left York Factory. We were flown to Gillam, and we had to stay in a hotel there for 2 nights while we waited for the train. And I think the first thing we did was lay in our beds and watch TV.
We popped a bottle of wine.
And listened to our voicemails.
Yeah. It was kind of a slow transition back. And we're still not fully transitioned because, you know, we're on the North Shore. So
well, I was going to ask
chill.
About that, about adjusting back to normal life after that. What's that been like?
I don't know. At first, it felt like we were still on trail because a lot of our trip was spending time in different communities. And so we'd stop, and Anne and I are still together. And so we're just hanging out in a community again. But then after about a week, we're like, wait a minute, we don't have to go anywhere after this. This is weird. But I don't know. It's gonna really hit, I think, when Anne and I kind of go our separate ways. So
okay. We'll
see. Anything, Anne? I don't know.
So you mentioned, you know, hanging out in different communities, and you found Maihan, your dog. And what was the most, or what were a couple of the most surprising things that happened to you along the way?
As far as meeting people?
Anything.
Oh, man.
Well, the last day was really surprising. We saw a herd of caribou, and then about 5 minutes later, we saw a wolf pack. And then about 5 minutes after that, we saw two seals. And then about 5 hours after that, we saw a polar bear. So
wow.
It was really cool.
That's the biggest wildlife sighting day I've heard of.
Yeah. It was crazy, too, because we were just paddling, and it was really hot, and we had a tailwind. And, you know, everything we read about the end of the haze is like, it's going to be cold and raining, and you won't be able to see anything because of the fog and da-da-da-da. Like, oh, God. We were, you know, nervous about it for so long. And it was just sunny and warm, and whew, it was great. Yeah. And so we weren't really expecting to see lots of wildlife because, I mean, there were eskers, white mud eskers along the side, and we're like, oh, you know, whatever, we're paddling along, and then we hear this huge clap of thunder behind us come out of nowhere, and then the wolf pack comes out, and then there's this bird, and everything's really dead quiet. We're like, ah, we have to go.
We were afraid my hen was going to run away from us.
Oh, I bet.
Join a wolf pack.
I can imagine. So your blog said, and I think I read this right, that you did 200 kilometers in the last 2 days?
Yeah. Mm.
Wow. How long did that take you?
20 hours.
Yeah. We timed ourselves at the beginning, and we were going 10 kilometers an hour. So then the next day, we were 100 kilometers away, and so we knew we were 10 hours away.
Yeah. It was a really rough day for us. We left our lunch pack in Norway House on accident, and stray dogs ate it. So for the last 2 weeks, we were eating lots and lots of peanuts and chocolate all the time.
Oh,
And Bisquick.
And Bisquick. We're very happy to eat actual nutrients again. But yeah, that day we didn't eat for some reason. We were probably just really excited to get there. And so we woke up at 5, started on our way, didn't really eat anything. And we're like, okay, we have 9 hours. Now we have 8 hours. Now it's like counting down, you know, how many hours of work you have before yes. Friday starts, you know? We're like, we can do it. We're almost there. And so by the time we got there, we were so overwhelmed with hunger and like all of these emotions that I don't even think I processed it. But it was crazy.
Were there people there to meet you?
Yeah, there were two caretakers and then the maintenance man. They watched over us while we cooked dinner. Because
with their guns.
Yeah, there's a polar bear in the area. And then they let us stay with them in their cabin that night and fed us, spinach and tomatoes and all these things because they were leaving the next day.
Okay.
And they wanted us to help them eat all their food.
Well, no problem.
How lucky for you. So York Factory, what was the weather like when you finished there?
Oh, gosh.
It was beautiful the first day, but then the day our plane was supposed to pick us up, it rained, right?
Yeah, it rained and it was really windy, and
our plane
just
was
like,
late by 3 hours.
We're not canoeing today.
What was the temperature range then?
The first day we didn't have shirts on, so it must have been
warm. I don't know, like in the 80s or something.
Yeah, and the second day I had a sweater on, so maybe in the 50s.
Oh, at one point I was wearing my down jacket, and then 3 hours later we were just like, shirts off. It's so warm.
Oh, yeah. Our last day when we left, we could see our breath when we woke up in the morning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we were very lucky with weather, I think.
And where exactly did you launch from in Minneapolis?
Fort Snelling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But we launched while there was lots of flooding going on. And so Pike Island was completely closed down, and that's where we had planned to leave. And so we left just from the boat launch next to it.
And looking at the map here, you actually go, you know, down to Shakopee and then all the way down to Mankato. You're going away from your
I was
goal.
Looking at that too, thinking, geez, that part must have been a little frustrating. Did it take a while to get into the rhythm of the whole thing?
Yeah, we talk about upstream, like, oh, good thing we don't have to do that now. We wouldn't have the ambition.
Yeah, we were really motivated at the beginning of the trip because upstream you go, you know, like 1.5 miles an hour. You spend 10 hours paddling. You're like, yes, we went 12 miles. We're still in Minneapolis, but we're doing it. And now, you know, after all this downstream we've done, I mean, we would go 50, 60 miles on the Red River. And thinking back to upstream, we were just, I don't know. It was rough. It was really rough. We just didn't know at the time.
It was 105 those days, too, in June.
Oh, man.
Oh. How were the bugs?
Not too bad.
No, they were really nice. And we were expecting really, like, black flies and everything when we got up north, but it was too cold for them.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Ann Rejo and Natalie Warren. They just finished paddling from Minneapolis to Hudson Bay, and their expedition is called Hudson Bay Bound, and they're actually going to be speaking tonight at Stone Harbor Wilderness Supply in Grand Marais at 7 o'clock. Part of the motivation for your trip was fundraising for Camp Minogen, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is that going?
Great. We have a welcome back party presentation in Minneapolis on the 22nd, and we're auctioning off a brand new Kevlar Langford canoe by silent auction. And so all of that money is going to go to the Minogen Scholarship Fund that we've been raising money for. And we also have about, I don't know,
1,500
left in the account to give straight to them as well. So
okay, that's great. Well, speaking of canoes, what kind of canoe did you paddle?
It was a Langford Prospector. It's about 17 feet long. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really great. It did really well upstream because it's really lightweight. And then over the portages we had at the end, it was really nice.
Oh, because so nice. It's like 45 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, that is good.
Yeah.
You mentioned presentations in the cities, and there's a presentation here. Are you going to be traveling around and giving presentations, or is there a book in the works, or magazine articles, or what's your plan?
Yeah, we're coming out in canoe kayak either in December or March. And then I think we're going to work on a book with Ron from the Star Tribune.
Ron Hutzfeldt, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
So we've been talking about it. It's going to be less of the daily grind stuff and more our stories wrapped around environmental and social issues that we witness along the way. Because our trip really was an extension of our liberal arts education. Definitely, I learned, you know, more in the past 3 months than I did in a semester, maybe. Just
well, tell us about that. Learning. Tell us about some of the social issues that you ran into.
Yeah.
Well, right away on the Minnesota River, we ran into a lot of like agricultural runoff from the tiling of the farms and, you know, cows in the water and all the sorts of things you hear about from farming, and we witnessed it firsthand. And then when we moved down to the Red River, it became even more apparent, and then we started to see the disappearance of the family farm. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it's something that we studied a lot. I was an environmental studies major at St. Olaf, and so in our capstone class, you know, we read articles about the disappearance of the family farm culture and small towns that are, people are flying away from them and going to big cities and things like that. And you read it and you're like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. And then you paddle through these areas and realize how creepy it is when you go up to a farmhouse and nobody lives there, but someone's planting all the corn, you don't know who. And then you go to these small towns that, you know, people take you around. They're like, this place used to be awesome. And then you look around like, nobody's here anymore. Huh. This is really creepy.
We went to a lot of ghost towns.
Yeah.
In Minnesota and North Dakota.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That were on the river but just weren't very active or vital anymore.
Yeah, people just left.
Like 50% the usual population. And you could tell because of the like dilapidated buildings, sort of.
Mm-hmm. And once we got onto Lake Winnipeg, there are lots of Cree reservations along the east shore. And so we got to stop by them. And specifically, we spent a lot of time in Norway House and with one of the council members. And so we stayed up late one night, just like, tell us, like, what's going on here? Tell us all of the issues. And, you know, they have 85% unemployment on the reservation, which is absolutely ridiculous. And so there's an obvious injustice there. And I'm specifically interested in the food systems. And so we go to the northern store and, you know, a pack of soda is much cheaper than a pack of water. And the cheeses and milks are all very, very expensive. And so these people are basically forced with their welfare to buy unhealthy, cheap foods. And then, of course, you know, there's a diabetes problem in the area. And so we just witnessed so many social injustices along the way that really opened our eyes. So
that's next. What's next as far as trips?
Oh, I don't know.
We have small, like, U.S. trips planned right now for the fall, but
yeah, we've been talking about doing more. It's because this trip is an urban canoeing trip. Mm-hmm. And so more of like to be in the wilderness for a longer period of time, mm-hmm. I think is something that we're both looking for.
Because that's another question, is how many days at a time were you away from civilization ever?
Between Oxford House and York Factory is probably the longest time we didn't see anyone. And it was about
8 days.
8 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's a historic trade route, so there's people
on everywhere. Right. Yeah. Which was really great. I mean, when we first went into this, we were thinking like we were on our last long trip, where it's like, we're going to canoe really hard and camp every day. And after the first week, we realized that the trip is going to mean something completely different, because people are calling you, like, you can stay at my house, we can feed you. And then they'll call the next community and the next community. And so people are expecting you. And so we're like, you know what, let's just hang out.
Yeah, that's good. So you weren't trying to make any kind of particular speed record?
No, not at all.
So you could actually take it all in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We met some amazing people along
the
way.
We met a lot of people too.
And how did you document this?
We journaled every day,
mm-hmm.
And we have a GoPro, which is like a little HD camera that we took a lot of videos and pictures with.
Yeah, and we've been updating the blog. We just updated the blog today with a wonderful Lake Winnipeg video that Anne edited.
It's hudsonbaybound.blogspot.com.
I was going to ask for that, yes.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, and tell us a little bit about what your presentation at Stone Harbor tonight will cover.
It'll go through the trip with, we picked out some pictures that we think really define certain parts of the trip, and then some really cool videos, and I think it'll be entertaining. We're going to play a song because we played music and sang all the time. And so we brought a guitar and ukulele along.
In your canoe?
Yeah. And so.
Wow.
Canoeists get to, I don't know, put whatever they want in their canoe. We just have to porridge it. No big deal. So we're going to play two songs tonight that we've, I don't know, played over the past couple months. So.
Well, that's terrific. And people will get to see your beautiful doggy.
Yeah.
Who Matthew and I got to play with before we went on the air here. Can you get her to speak at all?
She might whine a little bit.
No.
She's just like.
Oh. What a beauty.
She's a very cute
dog. Matthew, you're a dog person. I mean, I am too, but you know more about this kind of dog.
Well, it's like a little tiny, it's like a miniature shepherd of sorts, but
she's got really long hair on her ears. She looks like she just got up.
Yes.
We like to put her in a tennis outfit. Like
yeah. Put her ears back in a ponytail.
Well, that's worth the price of that. That's worth going to the show just to meet the dog. That's not that your great. Your story is great, but the dog is great
too.
Yeah,
if you're bored, you can just play with the dog.
There you go. She's a cutie.
Yes, she is. She's a little Mike shy. She's a beauty. Well, thank you so much for coming, Anne and Natalie.
Thank you.
And our biggest congratulations to you for your accomplishment. I mean, the first women to do this. How does that feel? Yeah.
We don't know yet.
We feel lucky, right?
We feel very lucky.
Still soaking in.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. We've had people come up to us like, you're so inspiring. And, da, 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 and we're like, what? We're just graduating college canoeing. And like canoeing. What are you talking about? And so I think within the next couple months, when we really have time to reflect on our trip, we will realize what it means, if it means something. I think it does.
It does. Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for sharing it with us and our listeners.